everybody.
Hey, welcome back to the Good Work Show. It's going to be a good one. We got a show that we bring back one of the organizations that's been on a while ago, but they're still doing really well. Okay.
I feel like I have to, I mean, obviously I'm not at home, so.
Well, I mean, you could be, but we didn't necessarily know that.
Well, I think at this point people know what my.
Well, maybe you were in a different room or something.
That's true, but I'm not. So I am coming to you from vacation. But this is how dedicated I am to making sure we tell these good stories. I was like, all right, if we got some guests today, I will.
You'll log in.
I'll log in. I'll get it together. But well, yeah, I can't believe it has been that long since we talked to the folks from Canine Soulmates. It's kind of crazy because then I'm like, but we've only been doing this show for, like, we've only been doing this a couple years. It's not possible that. But no,
it's actually been a long time.
I know, it's been a much longer.
I don't. The first year we started, I don't even remember what the year was when we started, like three stations ago, and I don't remember when it was.
At some point, time becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
We just keep doing the things that we love, and it's fine. I guess that's a good thing. If we didn't like doing this, we'd be like, God, I can't believe we're still doing this. But now it's like, oh, okay, let's just keep the party going.
Keep it going.
Yeah, so.
Well, anyway, well, we've got Canine Soulmates, an organization that is serving the Fulton County Jail and some of the men who are in there, but a really unique program in how they are helping them while they're in jail, and then they're going to share some news. So Susan Jacob Meadows is going to join us in just a bit to tell us all about what they've been doing and what they've got coming up next. And I'm just glad like organizations like that survived the pandemic, because there's a lot of nonprofits that were struggling or, you know, I guess are still struggling since the pandemic. But that's one that I'm glad that they're still back in action, still a great organization, and looking forward to hearing more.
And growing. So that's, and growing too. I feel like this is another sign from the universe I'm supposed to get a dog.
Well, I mean, more power to you. That's all I can say. I have a dog that lives in my house, but he's not my dog. He's part of the family, but when his owner goes, he goes.
I feel like
I can visit anytime. He just, this might not be his permanent residence, but
that's fair. Yeah. I keep saying, I wish there was like this service where you could get like a dog to play with, but then you just,
you can foster a dog.
No, I don't want it for a couple hours.
Oh, well, I mean, you could babysit dogs, like dog sit. That's a couple hours, and then I mean the owner will come get them. Well, I mean, oh, you will hope they're gonna come get them, but like, that's what the premise is when you dog sit.
I feel the same way about dogs that I think about children. Like, I want assurances on certain things about the dog that I don't think I can get promised on. Like, I want like a cat dog, like that pretty much keeps to itself. It's not like overly needy, but then dog-like in the sense that it'll come when you call it and it'll play with you.
Do cats do that? I'm not sure. I don't know.
No, cats don't do that. That's what I'm saying. I need a cat dog. Like, I need a dog, or maybe I need a dog cat. Maybe I need a cat that's mostly cat.
I'm sure you could. First of all, I'm not a cat fan, so I can't help you with that, but I'm sure that you can do some research. Then maybe there's certain types of cats that will do that, because you can find a dog with that temperament, but you're gonna have to find the dog with that. Like, they don't all, right. You know, they just don't come out the box.
That's what I'm saying. That's
but the you go to the, if you go to adopt a dog, they'll tell you, you'll know, you can try a dog out. And then if it doesn't work, you can,
I also feel like
that, but you can take it back. Like, you can return it and say that this didn't work for my family. I needed, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I need a different setup to have a dog too. Like, I need an area where I could let it out.
Oh yeah. Well,
and then it could come back.
You have to take the dog out.
Yeah. I mean, I obviously, but like now it's like a whole to do to go out, but like, so anyway, we'll see. All that to say, we're going to hear from the folks at Canine Cellmates today and learn more about what they're doing with their dogs and how they're making a difference in folks' lives. And yeah, so that'll be good.
Yeah. So we will return in just a second. Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Good Work Show. We are excited because we have an old friend to the show. So the organization has been on the show 6 years ago. It's been a little while, but if you are a Good Work Show follower and you've been following along, you will probably remember Canine Cellmates. And so we'd love to welcome Susan Jacob Meadows to the show. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you? Good to see you guys again.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we all know what the organization is about, but for those folks who are new to learning what you're about, can you give us a sense of what your mission is and what you do?
Great. Yes, I can. Not in very few words, but I certainly can. our mission statement is utilizing shelter dogs to change the lives of incarcerated men. So we are a jail dogs program that has been operating in Fulton County Jail for a number of years now. This program launched in June of 2013, so a little over 8 years ago. And it works, we pull dogs from Fulton County Animal Services, which is a large open intake shelter. We move them into Fulton County Jail where they live 24 hours a day with inmate handlers. It is a training program, so we run classes 5 days a week. And that's where the men learn the tools that they need in order to be able to train these dogs in basic obedience. Mm-hmm. We work throughout the cycle to get the dogs adopted through social media, offsite events, our website, et cetera. And our goal is that all the dogs are adopted by the time they're ready to graduate. So then the adopters get to come to the graduation at the jail. They get to meet the men who trained their dogs and they get to take their dogs home. And that's just kind of hitting the highlights. The dogs are the heart of our program, but the focus is on the men. We are a rehabilitative program, so we offer these men a lot of new information, experiences, perceptions, et cetera, while they're with us through the means of classes and speakers. And then we help them once they get released.
That's great. And I think most people who have a pet, though I am not one of those people, but I appreciate pets, can understand what happens when you get a chance to interact with animals and how even if you see a person that may be a little rough, you know, with maybe even interacting with other people, the way that their demeanor may change when they interact with a dog or with an animal. So talk to us a little bit about how that interaction actually does help the inmates and what that kind of does, and even just maybe making them more receptive to receiving support and help that'll help them after their release. Because we know there's a lot of different rehab programs, but what is it about adding the dogs to the program that makes it a little bit more different and maybe more successful?
I love your question because it's a perfect question for us. And first, let me start by saying, Tanise, that we can hook you up. So the dogs are
pressure to get a dog, so I feel like coming from all angles.
Yes. So the dogs are the magic in our program, and I'm glad you asked the question the way you did, because that is exactly the way we look at it. We could the classes that these men sit in, somewhere between 5 and 7 days a week in any given cycle, center around things like personal development, building creative muscle, current events and critical thinking, resume writing and interviewing skills, financial literacy, public speaking, et cetera, et cetera. And then these speakers bring a wealth of new information and new perceptions to the men. We could do all of those things without dogs. There's no question that we could. But the way I like to look at it is this. The men that come into our program are all felony offenders. And by and large, they are repeat felony offenders. On an average, they're probably on their fourth felony, with many of them, many more than that. So by the time they've hit that place, they've been incarcerated probably many times and maybe for a long time. And they have very high, thick walls around them that have gone up for preservation, self-preservation, to protect them. So we could apply all the same programming that we do now. And it, the walls are, if you equate the program to a glass of water, if you poured it over the top of those walls, the majority of it would run off. So what the dogs can do and what the dogs do is they create cracks in those walls. And then when you apply the programming to the same wall, some of it starts to sink in. Dogs are magical beings that have the ability to look inside a human being, find the good that exists in there, and then help that person to begin to believe that about themselves. And that's the magic. That's when things start to change, is if this dog loves me, there must be something good about me. And then as they train the dogs and they start to achieve goals and see these dogs respond appropriately and learn things because of what they are doing, it starts to change how they feel about themselves. And that makes them more receptive to all the other things that we do.
That's great. Yeah, fantastic. So you've been working at this for a number of years now. Tell us about the impact that you have. How many individuals have been in your program, have graduated, and of course, you know, include the canine friends too, right? Because they've also sort of graduated from the program, but then being able to become a part of a new family and have that story around, you know, how they came to be. So can you talk to us a little bit about your impact?
Sure. Over 400 men have participated in our program since its inception. I don't have off the top of my head the number who have graduated. We don't track impact by graduates, but more by men who participated. And the reason for that is because our program runs inside of a jail, not a prison. And what that the end result of that is that there's movement. Which is we have no control over, they have no control over, et cetera, et cetera. It's just one of those realities. So it's unfair to discount all of those participants because they didn't make it to graduation, which they had no choice about. So if somebody's with us for a week or less, we're probably not going to count them as a participant. And we may not count them if they're only there for 2 weeks. Some of that is kind of, have they engaged? Are they, do we see evidence of positive personal growth, et cetera? So over 400 men have participated. We have pulled 156 dogs out of Fulton County Animal Services to date. Some of them, which makes me sad to even think about, some of them have passed away by this time. All of them but two are currently either have been or are in homes. We have two dogs that are available for adoption. One is because she came back to us because the situation of her adopter changed and he able to really care for her. And she desperately wants a home. Her name is Jazzy. And the other dog is having some behavioral work done. He unfortunately developed stranger danger. Mm-hmm. And so we cannot place him in a home until he isn't afraid of every person he meets. So there's that.
Yeah. Wow.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So when we started talking before we got on, you were telling us that you had some new and exciting stuff going on. So share with us what's new, what's happening.
I am very excited to share that with you. We were shut down at Fulton County Jail last year due to COVID, and we are not back up and running in there yet. We are working on it. We're making steps that direction. You know, unfortunately, as COVID started to wind down, the population in Fulton County Jail started to crank up, one thing not really having anything to do with the other. But that seems to be working itself out as court systems come back into play more closer to 100% and that kind of thing. So we expect to be back in Fulton County Jail before too much longer. But we did not sit idle while we were waiting. We have been working very hard over an extended period of time. And as of May 1st, we took over a building. We received a very generous grant from Best Friends Animal Society, and we have taken over this building that was formerly their Atlanta location. They have changed their business model and have moved to a foster-based organization. This is incredibly exciting to us because, number one, it gives us a headquarters location. So now we are more tangible and we're more real and we're more credible. For most people, unless they had some kind of direct involvement with us, we were this somewhat intangible social media presence that flowed through their news feed from time to time because they couldn't exactly pop into Fulton County Jail to meet us or see our dogs or wave as they drove by or anything else. So now we're more tangible. We have a place for more people to work, optimally more employees and certainly more volunteers. We have a place to house our own dogs. We will always have dogs that are not at the jail, the two we just described to you. And because we don't have an ongoing need for fosters, it's really tough for us to retain fosters because if they foster, they typically are going to make themselves available to multiple organizations. And so whenever we might need one, they're fostering for somebody else. So last year, when we got shut down for COVID, we already had dogs and we moved them to a facility to keep them all together so that we could continue to interact with them, socialize with them, make sure they had plenty of exercise, et cetera, et cetera. And we spent over $28,000 housing dogs last year. So we will never again have to scramble for a place to house dogs. Our aftercare component that we run will be more effective and efficient because now these men have a place to come. Before, we had to meet them where they were, and that's presents a lot of challenges. So now they can come here and we can offer them services and referrals and meet their needs like clothing and MARTA fare and food and whatever it is that each individual person needs. But more exciting than any of that is that this is a very large space and we're going to be expanding our services that we bring to the Atlanta community. We will be launching in August through a cooperative effort with the District Attorney's Office, a diversion program. So we will be running a program in the jail. It doesn't replace that, and a program at this building. It will be run similarly to what most people think of as an accountability court, like a drug court or a mental health court or whatever. And these men will come to us for half days a week for 90 days. And similar to our structure at the jail, they will be working with dogs, shelter dogs that, of course, will reside in the building, in group training environments. They will be spending some hours each week caring for the dogs in the building, walking dogs and scooping poop and washing runs and all those things that you have to do when you have dogs. And they will be sitting in curriculum, similar to what we do in the jail, but a little bit more expanded. We hope to cover five curriculum topics, 2 weeks per topic during that time with things like parenting skills, emotional intelligence, accountability, things, conflict resolution, things along those lines. So, and when they complete our program, their charges will be nil prost. So they will remain unincarcerated longer. They won't be in jail. They will return to their families sooner. They will, because we're doing this for half days a week, if they're motivated, they can probably find a part-time job so that they can be self-sustaining. And we certainly will help with that to the best of our ability. We don't, obviously, we don't want anybody in our program starving and whatever. But it's very, very exciting to be able to offer an alternative to just locking them up, which really solves almost no issues. It solves no issues. The only issues that it does solve is for those who present a danger to society. Obviously, incarceration is necessary. But most people don't want to present a danger to society, and their actions don't reflect who they are in most cases. So anyway, really, 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 really excited about this. We're going to need a ton of support because this is a huge undertaking. It's a big building. While we got a grant that gets us in the building, it does not sustain us in this building. So we have to sustain it. We have to bring donors and sponsors to the table. We're going to need more volunteers. We're going to need more people to adopt dogs because we're going to be roughly doubling the number of dogs that we'll be pulling from the shelters. So we're going to need a lot of support.
Well, fantastic. So along those lines, tell our listeners and our viewers how they can support you. Where should they go if they'd like to sponsor or they'd like to donate or volunteer or just learn more about your programs?
They can go to our website, which is currently under reconstruction, but we have a website up and it's caninecellmates.org, and that's canine spelled out, not the letter K and the number nine, but the word caninecellmates is plural.org. On there, they can find out about dogs that are available for adoption. There's a volunteer application on that page. There's the opportunity to donate on that page. They're welcome to just send an email to info@caninecellmates.org. If they reach out and let us know they want to come visit the building, we're happy to do that. Until we're fully functional, they'll need to reach out because somebody may not be here at the exact moment that they knock on our front door. But we certainly are going to need that support.
Well, fantastic. Well, thank you, Susan, so much for returning to the show. Congratulations to you and your team for all of the growth and continuing on to impact the lives of so many through your programs and your services. So thanks so much. You're always welcome back. And we look forward to hearing more about what you do with the new program.
I would love to come back once we're up and running with this new program. Maybe you can talk to some of the participants. Wouldn't that be exciting?
That would be fantastic. We'd love that. We'd love that. Yes. We'll plan for that.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.